So I would look at this today and I'd say those five core needs in 1 Timothy chapter 5 kind of come out a little bit, and I think she does a good job of identifying them. So we come to it. Let's work our way through this now. First of all, our purpose is found in this. Paul says the goal of this command, Timothy, is to love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. First thing we want to say right out of the box is that our purpose is founded in love, the love of Christ, the agape love, the one from heaven, and it is given to us in this regard. It's given to us in order for us to know the gospel. How to know the gospel? God's love that he gave it to me. So love is the motivator, love is the thing that initiates it. And so what does Paul do with Timothy? He sends Timothy to Ephesus and asks him to stay there. It's difficult, but I want you to stay there and discuss with the people why it's important to stay with the truth. And so there was some upset with that, but do so in love. I do this command in love. But love is distorted because of our sin. We get it wrong. Sin is always in the way, and therefore the law becomes necessary to set us straight, to show us who we really are. We are lawbreakers. Now, it says, talks about murderers and things like, maybe we're not murderers. But maybe we are people who have shared unkind words or done unkind things to others. Maybe we have made others simply feel unwelcome. Maybe we have showed favoritism. Some of us may have been unforgiving at some point this week. Some of us may have been adulterers or seen things or thought things that are impure or inappropriate. Some of us may have been liars, at least exaggerated or misled or manipulated something or someone. We could have done any of these things. I can tell you, and you know as well as I do, that Christians can be good at these things too. We shouldn't be, but we are. And so the law becomes necessary because love has been distorted by our sin. And the law points that out. And if we are to ever see our true purpose, that sin has to be removed from the picture. It has to be put aside, which is what Jesus, of course, came to do. And so we have around here, we have all this important stuff. Sin distorts things. Last year was the year of fixing things around my house. Everything seemed to break. Okay, we came to work for a while. That's the way it goes. This year was the year of drywall. Perfect. Well, we were working at Katie Whitler's house, trying to get it done, drywall. Doing our basement, drywall. And the favorite part about drywall is, of course, putting on mud, filling in the gaps, right? And then you sand it down. Every night after church or work, I come home, go work on that a little bit, come up the stairs like the ghost of Baby Past, covered with white dust. And then you shower off and start over the day. This is the way it was. I'm done with drywall. But the interesting thing is, if you want to see if you got all the sanding smooth enough, you hold the light up to the wall. And you hold it at just the right angle, and if you can see that there's no lines or crevices that you've missed, you've done a good job. However, in my case, when I shine the light out there, here you go, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, there's little crevices and little things up there that you didn't see in the regular light. When you hold the light right on it, you see all kinds of flaws. That's the way God's light is. That's the way the law is. It shines light on us, and we think we're okay. But when the law shines on us, which is God's righteousness, by the way, that is the righteousness of God reflected through the law of God, which we can't match. We can't do it. But when we stand up to that, we see we just can't pull the candle to that. We have flaws, we have sin, and we are exposed. So we want to be aware that law distorts those things and gets in the way of what God has in mind for us. But Paul's words, I want you to notice them in verse 15, please. As we go through this, you see it on our text as well or on your handout. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Why did Christ Jesus come? To save sinners. And this is where the confusion starts to wander into our culture and why it's putting it into the church, I don't know. But he's not here to reach our full potential. He's not here to make us feel good about ourselves. He's not here to be successful by worldly standards. He's not here to give us peace of mind. He's not here to solve our problems, but to save sinners. And Paul says, I'm the worst of them. I'm the chief of sinners. Not I was. I am the chief of sinners. And I like Stephen Cole. He's a guy online. I like reading stuff once in a while. He makes a great observation. says, the closer we get to the Lord effectively, the more aware that we are not like Him. The more we see our own perfections, the closer we draw to perfection. And so we see, you know, that quotes another author, Alexander McLaren, the sign of a growing perfection is a growing consciousness of your own imperfection. The more you become like Christ, the more you find you are unlike Him. I'll make sure I get credit where credit's due there, but he's right. And if you want to really truly appreciate the gospel, the depth of the cross and the resurrection, and chapters like Matthew chapter 18, then you can see why, how deep and how important and how much God has truly forgiven us. And you realize, oh, I don't deserve anything. God's love, however, overshadows that. And even in our distortion, God's grace works. Does its work for us and brings us to faith through a relationship with the Lord where our sin is overcome by the cross and the resurrection. And we are set in a good place with the Lord. Jesus came to save sinners. This is what love's purpose is. This is what love was designed to do. This is what love has done. 1 Corinthians 13 is patient, it's kind, it's not self-seeking, and keeps no record of wrongs. And so we come back to it. Here we are. This is what God's love has produced. He's produced us an identity made in God's image. We come to see that again in Jesus. Security. Our purpose is in Jesus, a trustworthy saying. You can count on it. Belonging, family, children, Heavenly Father, we belong to one another. We're the body of Christ. We can call Him Father, our Father in heaven, right? Competence. Even in failure, we grow. The Holy Spirit gives different gifts to different people. I learn more by doing things wrong sometimes, it seems like, than I do when I get it right. Oh, okay, I'm going to do it that way again. Then, of course, purpose, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, being a disciple, and God willing, an apostle, one sinner, proclaiming the gospel. And so we see how love has changed things for us and how God's purpose has been played out in Jesus Christ to change who we are, to be like Him, to know Him, and also to receive His promise. And that's a fixed thing. That's something we can count on. God's plan of salvation fulfilled in Jesus. All right. Fine, Pastor. When does God have does God have a specific plan for me? Well, good question. Does He? Let's remember some things. We've got a lot of things to cover here in this section. There are two questions to consider at this point. And the first question is kind of a personal one. Am I serving the Lord in my plans, or am I serving myself? How much of our planning is deliberately to enhance our faith, to grow the knowledge of our Savior, or to share the Word of God? How much of it is on purpose that we would seek the gospel and spread the gospel? That's a tough question. I don't know how we can answer that. But we know Paul was well on his way, becoming the top Pharisee. We know that he was a guy that attacked the church, and a guy that did so many things. Believed in putting to death Christians was the best way to honor God. He believed that. He was zealous for his work, made famous by his work. But his work was wrong. You see, it was really whose plans were really being served there were confused with what God's plans were. And so it kind of depends on where your faith is and how well you can see what God's up to. Second thing we want to kind of consider here, the second part of this question, as we see it there, am I confusing plans with purpose? Because I would argue with you that they are not the same. One serves the other, but the other does not serve the one. Plans serve purpose, but purpose does not serve plans. And so I have plans serve purpose here, never the other way around. Building a house is something we do, have done, around our place back in 2010. First thing we did, of course, our purpose was to build a house. Okay, so we sit down with the headache, and we have our plans drawn up. Good architect, by the way, if you need something. There's still a bit for you, buddy. Draw up a house, get our house ready to go. hire a contractor, get the contractor together, get all these plans in place, and as soon as we sit down and think we got an order, plans change. Well, you can't afford that much house. So we reduce it down. Are you sure you want to give up the man cave? Are you sure you want to give up the mom cave or whatever? You do this when you're doing a house. How many closets do we really need? We're just going to fill them with stuff. And that kind of thing. And then you finally get it to where you can go forward, but still with the same purpose in mind. But your plans can change along the way. You see where I'm going? God has a purpose for us, but along the way, plans change, they shift, and they're different from one another. The plans that God has for me may be very different for you, and the way we fulfill our purpose to serve God. And so, as we go forward here, keep that in mind. So, the disciples all came with the same purpose, but they all had different ways about them. So, Apostle Paul, he was called in Acts chapter 12, and the gospel, he says, was entrusted to Paul. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, he says in our text, verse 12, who has given me the strength that he's considered me faithful, appointing me to service. And even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who believe in him and receive eternal life. Paul demonstrates in this verse his purpose. Demonstrates what he's about, ultimately in the gospel. You go back to the first apostles, the 12 apostles, and you see the same thing. They were all called. However, there's a different plan. Peter was called as a lake, put a net down in the water. Levi was called to come follow him. Matthew the tax collector, whichever way you want to call him. They all have different ways to go about them. And where did they end up serving? Paul ultimately, his plan, whatever plan he tried to make, ultimately landed him in Rome. And some of them weren't his plan. They changed quite a bit, often. He ends up in Rome, and there he appealed to Caesar, but he makes the most of it. As we mentioned last week, Philippians 1 tells us he got to preach the Praetorian Guard to those serving in Caesar's house. He rejoiced over that. But then we look at other places. We look at the other apostles, and we hear things about Matthew. Matthew is said to have gone to Ethiopia, where he was martyred. And Thomas was said to go to India, where he was martyred. Those are different plans. See? And so we have a different direction. The purpose was shared. The plans were different. And they unfolded very differently and changed often. That's the way it really works. Plans also take into account, by the way, our gifts, what our gifts may be. Maybe you're not a talker. Maybe you're a worker. Maybe you're an apostle. Maybe you're a teacher. Maybe you're a babysitter. Maybe you're a contractor. Maybe you're something else, right? We're not all the same. By the Christ, if you're all the same, it would be unnecessary. That's one of the things I all hear in marriage. If two of you are the same, one of you is unnecessary, right? We're all different. And different is good because those different talents and different skills come to play for the benefit of all. I look at my own life, and one of the things that I see is I'm more than one thing. I'm a husband to my wife. I'm a father to two boys. I'm now a father-in-law, by the way. I'm a girl family. Cool. I'm a pastor. You know, I have several different things that I am called to be, and I'm sure you are too. And we have talents that meet each one of those, gifts that meet each one of those. God has called us that way. Many times along the way, as I look at my own career as a pastor, I question whether or not this was the direction I should be going. And sometimes I consider other plans. I was in Yosemite National Park, many of you know. I really strongly, really considered staying and working. I wouldn't be here today, though, if I did. And so we all have, we play with different plans, we work with different plans, but ultimately we make the decisions that move us in one direction or another. And we're responsible for that. We use our gifts and talents to get us there. Not all plans work out. But this doesn't change our purpose, does it? As we think about it. I guess I'm getting ahead of myself on this thing. I'm lost already on that. You can find it. Go ahead and go on. Not all plans work out, but it doesn't change our purpose. Ask anyone who's been under any cancer treatment plan, and you'll discover it doesn't always work out. Ask anyone who's worked hard on a business and didn't make it. Ask anyone who's had a job and lost a job or come face to face with a divorce. We often make plans that don't work out. And it's just who we are and the way things go. Bad things happen to God's people. Ask Jesus. Doesn't get any better than that. Bad things happen to Jesus for our sake. He accepted those. Bad things happened on the cross. Those weren't fun things. Those weren't glad things. They were evil people doing bad things to Jesus, ultimately crucifying him on the cross. Bad things happen to God's people. Not always do our plans get fulfilled. But that does not mean that God does not love us. If you look at Paul's life, it changed many times and suffered many things. But always, God loved him and directed him to that same purpose, to know the gospel. And as we look at this, think about Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Oh, that's a great passage. Consider confidence. It's written to an Israel going into exile, losing everything. Gosh. Doesn't sound like a lack of harm to me. Doesn't sound like it's a good situation. But they went into exile because of their sins. They made different plans that God would set them upon, or when they made the course that God would have them enjoy and be blessed with. Look at into the prophet. The prophet suffered a great deal as well at the hands of these Israelites. Plans change. The Lord's plans are always higher than ours. They're always a fixed thing. Not all of our plans work out for a variety of reasons, but look at Romans 8:28 says, "For we know that God works all things together for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose." All together for his purpose. And we see it there. Plans change. Look at Paul, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. "Therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind in Athens." Why? Sent Timothy instead to take care of things in Thessalonica because we couldn't go there. Plans change. God says not. God is a fixed thing, and God works for his people to fulfill his purpose. All good. And so we go forward with that. Plans serve God's purpose. Plans are designed to fall into alignment with God's purpose always. Proverbs 19:21. "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails." So we see over and over again, plans and purpose, very different from one another. But we see God's purpose is intact. We see Jesus, the plan of our salvation, intact and can't be changed. But we see a variety of things happening with the way we follow Jesus and the which way our lives go. And so does God have specific plans in our life? Well, you know, he may have, but we can consider what plans should we pursue. You know, we should think about that. Obviously, pray about it. Listen to the Word of God and learn from it. Consider what you can do or you should do. Trust in the Lord to lead. Take Spirit-led actions and then go forward. And that's what we do. And I would add this. You know, when it considers what's the answer to this question? The answer is yes. God's purpose for you in Jesus is to share the gospel, being a disciple, right? But God does not give us detailed plans. He's not going to lay it out for you and robotically force you in one direction. I hope we're clear on that. So let's round this out. I had a moment elapsed. Attention moment. The red one else are driving, it's kind of spacey. I'm the only one. Okay. I was making a right turn, and of course they're all yield signs, and the car in front of me, getting ready to go home, trying to get home, the car in front of me started rolling forward, so I thought, my turn to look. So I looked, and I waited, and I waited, and I finally saw the opening, and I hit the gas. I didn't look back. The guy stopped rolling. And I went right into the back end. Crashed into the back end of that car. Smashed it all up. Well, I got out of the car, and we flock, obviously, I learned that they had plans the next day to take this very car on vacation for a week and a half. Oh, I feel about this talk. Well, one thing I also learned is that they were determined not to change that course. Right? They decided that they're going to do what's necessary. They rent a car, or they're going to use this car to still drive it, well, just crunch it on one side, like they remodeled. Somehow I told them my car. But they went about their plans, they went on their way. And it's sort of like that with the way things kind of play out for us. We know our purpose is to be a disciple or an apostle of God. Occasionally we get it messed up. Occasionally we go the wrong way, but that doesn't change the course that God wants us to take when it comes to knowing Him more fully or to be better at being Christian. We know that being Christian is a practice thing, faith thing is a practice thing, obviously. But that's what He wants for us. He wants us to formulate plans around that purpose. He wants us to chase that purpose. So that ultimately we too can say what Paul says in our last verse. To the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. God willing, we can say that too. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Let us rise. And having the peace of God, who goes beyond all our understanding, God, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated as we gather our gifts and tithes.